You know, I love a good story, especially if it's a play on words. I want to tell you a story this morning. There once was a handyman, but before I tell you about the handyman, we need to talk to the man, our Heavenly Father, and ask Him to bless our time together. Father, I do pray that as we look into Your Word today, You would look into our hearts, speak to our hearts truth, that we may live out for Your glory. For I ask it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. There once was a handyman who had a dog named Mace. Now, this dog was a very different kind of dog because he liked to eat grass, but not just casually so. He ate grass in such a way that would make a lawnmower blush. One day, the handyman lost his wrench in the tall grass where he was working outside. He searched and he searched without any luck, and then it was getting dark. So he thought, well, I'll resume the search in the morning. In the morning, he went outside to see that his dog had eaten the grass all around where he was working. And there, shining in the sunshine, bright and ready, was his wrench. He called his dog over and said to him, "A grazing Mace, how sweet the hound that saved a wrench for me." How's that going to fit within the message today? I'm not quite sure. But I will tell you, words are important, especially words in the Bible. Our words communicate specifics. They communicate and define terms. They differentiate between two similar concepts, like sympathy and compassion. Sometimes we use them interchangeably, don't we? Sometimes we define them by cultural use. I remember back in the beatnik days, when the words for sympathy were, "I feel for you, man, but I just can't reach you." Today we want to talk about compassion. The Bible is very clear when we talk about compassion. And learning about compassion is what God would have us do, because you see, compassion has as its root the character of God and the example of Jesus. And thus I've entitled today's message, "A Passion for Compassion." So let's define our term. Compassion, defined biblically, is a feeling with and for others that manifests itself in attitudes and actions. Let me say it again. A feeling with and for others that manifests itself in attitudes and actions. The key word in our definition is manifests, because compassion is not talk. That can be sympathy. Compassion interacts. It reveals itself through our attitudes and actions. Compassion is very closely tied to God's love. It emphasizes outward actions toward others. God's agape love is defined as a giving of myself to meet the needs of others without expecting anything in return. Can you back that with scripture, Pastor? I think I can. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He" what? "That He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." The famous anthropologist, Margaret Mead, was once asked this question: what was the earliest sign of civilization in any given culture? He expected the anthropologist to answer with a clay pot or perhaps a fish hook or a grinding stone. Her answer was a healed femur. Mead explained that a healed femur shows that someone cared. Someone had to do that individual's hunting and gathering while the leg healed. That evidence of compassion, she said, is the first sign of civilization. And she went on to say, I would contend that it is also the first sign of the work of Christ in the life of a Christian. Compassion is a distinctive quality of the biblical revelation of God. Let me say that again. Compassion is a distinctive quality of the biblical revelation of God. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 in the Message says, the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to a thousand generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. Those words aren't repetitious. They're reflective of how we transgress a holy and righteous God. Sins is a general term. Unrighteousness and iniquities speak of our heart attitude as well as rebellion against God's ways. Compassion lay at the foundation of Israel's faith in Jehovah. It was out of compassion that God delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Compassion is at the root of God's love for us. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 tell us, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Aren't you glad God's compassions are renewed every morning? Amen. In the New Testament, Jesus both taught and demonstrated compassion. In Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30 through verse 40, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. That was the goal. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of him. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and 50s. This particular gospel, the feeding of the 5,000, as we so commonly know it, is found in all four of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's only one other event that's seen in all four gospels. Any idea what it is? The bodily resurrection of Jesus. I had a professor in college. He was old. And he had served in the China Inland Mission. I think he even knew Hudson Taylor. I don't know, but he was old. And he would teach and he would say, he had a crooked finger. He would say, students, kind of bent over, students, when God says something, it's very important. And students, when God says the same thing twice, it's very, very important. And if God says the same thing three times, students, it's very, very, very important. And we'd all chuckle. Humor the dear man. But is it not true? Repetition in the Bible is a form of emphasis, if you've done any Bible study methods. Repetition is a time of emphasis. So if this is the only story that is in all four Gospels, what does that tell us, friends? Yeah, it's very important. We need to learn what Jesus is teaching in this particular episode. Pay attention. The miracles recorded in all four Gospels, it takes place at the beginning of the third year of Jesus' public ministry. The apostles had just returned to Capernaum from their first preaching mission. That's why they were tired. Recognizing their need for a rest, the Lord took them to a secluded place on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But the people followed them around on land. Some came running. Everybody was hurrying to get there when Jesus in the boat got there. When Jesus saw them, the Bible says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he used the occasion to teach his followers and us the importance of compassion. Have you ever had your plans interrupted? Now, if you're an organized person, that can really be irritating. If you're not an organized person, it's at least inconvenient. That's what happened to the disciples. You see, they were on a purpose to go and have a rest with Jesus. They were tired. You know, one of the most significant ways that the devil attacks us is when we're tired. When we're tired, our guard is down. We're not thinking normal. And that's when the enemy can attack us. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and ask, he said. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups of 50s and hundreds. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. Key word, satisfied. When are you satisfied when you eat? I know when I am, when we have a potluck. Little of this, little of that. Oh, I can't offend them. I'll have some of this. And heaping plate, and I go home and I say, Georgie, I may never eat again. But I'm satisfied. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. That does not count women and children. Some commentators estimate that the crowd was upwards toward 15,000 people. Let's remember our definition. A feeling with and for others that manifests itself in attitudes and actions. Biblically, we see that this definition portrays our God. His compassion extends to the whole human race. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The preposition for really conveys for the benefit of. Now I want you to look at that verse, and when I come to the end of it, I want you to stick your name in it. Are you with me? You don't have to say it out loud. I've done that. It didn't work. So I just want you to silently stick your name in there. Okay, here we go. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for, yeah. We could also put me in that. Here's the test. You can all say me, right? All right, you're up to bat on this, because if I ever preach on this passage again, you're going to be the example. Me, shout it out. Ready? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for?
Me.
Yes, he did. He died for you. He did. He gave his life for you, friends, and for me. And for that, we shout hallelujah. While we were separated from God because of all of the wrong things we have done, that is our thoughts and our words and our actions, God, who is rich in mercy, sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for us. Let's continue learning. God's compassion is guaranteed by God's love. Only Christians can demonstrate godly compassion. Why? Because it's only believers who have the Spirit of God within us that can demonstrate that truth. All Christians are called upon to demonstrate godly compassion. But it's not easy, is it? Why? Well, we talked about that in the Sunday school class. Good Sunday school class, folks. If you can make it at 9:30, you really should. It's a good class. Why is it hard for us to demonstrate compassion? Because we focus on ourselves, not on others. How does that affect me? What's our definition? A feeling with and for others that demonstrates itself in attitudes and actions. Biblically, compassion is a part of the nature of God. Compassion and God's love are inseparable. Compassion is demonstrated by God to us every day. And remember, Jesus taught and demonstrated the importance of compassion. So that's a good truth. And we want to remember that truth. But how does that live out? How do we put some shoe leather to that? Does God's word help us in that? I think at least in three ways. First, compassion involves meeting the needs of others. Scripture, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Have you traveled through some deep waters, and by God's grace, you're now on the other side? Look for someone who isn't quite there yet. They may be in the midst of the deep waters. Come alongside of them and help them along. Has God granted you victory in an area of your life, and you've seen God just touch you in a miraculous way because you couldn't do it yourself? Look for someone who may be struggling in that same manner and help them along to get victory as well. Special Olympics are very special to Georgie and I. We have a niece that was engaged in the Special Olympics. Special Olympics, for those of you who aren't aware, are for those who are physically or mentally handicapped. On a 100-yard dash in the Special Olympics, 8 runners took their mark. At the starter's gun, they all took off running, 100-yard dash. More than halfway through, one of the runners tripped and fell. And as he got up, he started to cry. All 7 of the other runners stopped, and they went back, and they helped up the runner that had fallen, and then locked in arms, they all crossed the finish line together. That's an example of compassion. Second way we can live out compassion, it involves forgiving others. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God forgave you. Is there someone that you're holding back forgiving? They've treated you horribly, and they deserve your aloofness. Forgive them. Forgive them, because if you don't, that's going to morph into bitterness. And bitterness is a cancer that will eat you alive spiritually, physically as well, incidentally. Forgive. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God forgave you. Number 3, way to demonstrate compassion. Biblically, compassion is to be a part of the Christian lifestyle as a whole. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In England, in the 1940s, a young woman entered Oxford University with little focus in her life, but she soon became influenced under the teaching of one of the professors of English, a writer by the name of C.S. Lewis. She became a Christian, much through his influence. She left Oxford, and against the advice of friends and family, she began a study in nursing. After more than 5 years of rigorous training, she was certified as a nurse. But her story doesn't end there. Her quest and the desire of her Christian spirit would not let her rest with the way things were. You see, she ended up working on a cancer ward in a London hospital. Gradually, she began to realize that doctors ignored the patients who were deemed terminally ill. As a result, she watched many of them die without any family or friends, alone. Greatly troubled by this, she felt that Christian compassion needed to be expressed to these patients in a visible way. She approached the hospital administration with the idea that she had of surrounding those dying of cancer with friends and loved ones during their last days, rather than isolating them in sterile rooms with strangers. Her radical ideas were quickly rejected. But undaunted, she decided to enroll in medical school to try and make a difference, even though she was already 33 years old and would not graduate until she was 39. She did it, and later a movement soon grew around her ideas that made it possible for dying patients to live their days in a setting of love and support. Her name was Cicely Saunders. Out of Christian compassion and a sense of calling to help in a specific way, she began a movement in England in the 1950s. It later moved to the United States and is now used everywhere. It is called the Hospice Movement, and it draws its inspiration from Jesus' own passion and compassion for others. Let's bring it together. Compassion, our definition, is defined as a feeling with and for others that manifests, that gives wheels to, that reveals our love and actions and our attitudes toward others. Compassion is defined with a feeling for and with others that manifests itself in attitudes and actions. Compassion also is a part of the character of God. It is also taught and demonstrated by Jesus himself. And if we read our Bibles, compassion is an essential requirement of a follower of God. Paul said, "Be kind and compassionate one to another," Ephesians 4:32. We're to be empathetic with the needs of others. We should be concerned about what concerns them. And we should be thoughtful and considerate toward each other. I believe we could show compassion to someone today, this week, if we really wanted to. So the question is, do you really want to? And with that, we need to pray. Our Father, we thank you for the reality of the teachings of your word. Thank you that they're not just intellectual exercises, but they actually call us to actions. Thank you for the reality of your compassion, our God. Thank you that your compassion is renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. I pray that as we hear and learn and study the truths of your word, especially with regard to compassion, that you would put it upon our heart to seek out those with whom we can come alongside and encourage in their journey with you. I pray that you would bring to bear those whom we need to forgive. And give us the strength and grace to forgive them, even when they don't deserve it, because none of us deserved your love and forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes to the people around us, that we may, in Jesus' name, lend a helping hand, speak an encouraging word, be consistent and truthful in our testimony. For we want to communicate your love, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.